Congratulations.
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
Maysoon, I just have a few quick notes for the listeners because we went through this. Nobody knows about this, but we went through a Mercury retrograde
catastrophe. I know about it. I cried multiple times that fucking week. Remember?
Yeah. Okay, but Maysoon, I mean with a podcast.
Oh, sorry, with the podcast.
With technical issues with the podcast.
That's
because
right.
Nobody gives a shit about this, but we put our RSS feed out with this Google service called FeedBurner, and they fucking disintegrated.
It exploded.
Oh. And so I moved the podcast over to this other service called Acast.
Okay.
And so hopefully everything should be uninterrupted, unless you get the email updates when we put the podcast up. I don't know if you're fucking hearing this episode, if that's how you're accessing the podcast, but you may no longer get the email updates. I'm not sure about that, but everything else, if you're listening on iTunes, fucking Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Google Play or Spotify or whatever, everything should be okay now. If not, you're not hearing this, so good luck.
Feel free to email us and ask us what's going on and why we have stopped recording.
Right, but then Maysoon, they're not gonna know.
I know, but maybe they'll be like, wonder why I haven't heard from Kate and Maysoon lately. I better get in touch with one of them and see if everything's okay. No one's going
to
do that.
Okay. Well, let's send our psychic energy out to those people. Did you do it?
That was cute. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I loved it.
Okay, but the website and everything is still up, and I guess I'll just also post the podcast there, even though it's not actually doing anything anymore.
So you can't, like, usually you used to be able to click on the link and then listen to it directly through the website, and you can't do that anymore.
Yeah, but now I'll put a link on our website to the Acast thing, because on Acast is actually way more high-tech than we had.
That's, like, better
quality. Where they just have every episode, you can just play it right there. It doesn't, like, link you to an MP3.
Okay.
But, not really better quality, but just like, and now we can post the just a playable little widget on Twitter and people can listen there.
Oh, that's cute. Oh, that's really cute.
Yeah.
So we could put
our very cute
turkey competition on Twitter if we wanted, like a little like clip of
exactly.
it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. Good luck to us and good luck to the listener.
Maysoon,
you are now deeply ensconced in the San Francisco drag community.
I don't know if I would say deeply ensconced, but I have spent the last 3 months with San Francisco legendary drag queen Juanita Moore.
Yeah. And do you want to say a little bit about how this has transformed your life and how you now are thinking of becoming a drag performer yourself?
I don't want to be a drag performer, but there's something, I mean, it's been amazing. So Juanita has been coming to the gallery, not in drag, you know, for weeks and months now during install and during all of our meetings. And, you know, when she comes in with drag, it's just amazing how the persona is completely different. You know, you're like, all of a sudden I'm like intimidated by this person been having like normal conversations with, you know, like just regular gallery install planning conversations with for weeks and months, you know? And it's so funny because I was like, man, Juanita, you came in the other day, like all dressed up, you know, all just like your full face on everything. And I was just like, who is this? And I was kind of intimidated. And she laughed. She's like, yeah, I mean, she's aware of that. She knows that is a thing. And
oh, of course.
You know, I actually think it'd be fun to maybe we should talk about interviewing her for the show, actually. I think she'd be interested.
Oh, sure.
We could get.
Can you imagine if we start interviewing people again?
I know. Someday we'll start. So I'm just sort of I'm just like in love with her and just a lot of the a lot of the people that she's brought through to help with the show, like Mr. David Glamamore, who is, you know, one of her closest friends and the person who has designed and is designing all of her dresses still, and the person who first put her in drag back in the early 90s. And
wow.
Yeah. And then like their younger sort of I don't know if they're if you'd call them their kids, but their sort of younger crew who are also, like, you know, budding drag queens and I don't know. It's been so much fun, but it's also just, I was just explaining to Kate, you know, like seeing one person who's been coming to the gallery with just like their regular daily clothes on to help with the dresses. They came to the opening reception last night in like full drag, and I literally didn't know it was her until like the end of the night. And she was there with like four other people just like posing in these like, you know, glorious poses. And she was like, Maysoon. I was like, hi, who are you?
You had no fucking clue.
She's like, that's it's amazing. Mary. And I was like, no. Wow. Oh my God. And I went up to her and like gave her a hug and looked. And I was like, finally through like all the eyeliner and all the thick fake eyelash, I could see her eyes. And I was like, oh, it is you, Mary. Now I can actually see a little portion of you still, you know.
Yes. It was so, I mean, that makeup, the things they can do.
Yeah.
The things they can do, it's like a trompe l'oeil kind of thing.
It's really wild.
Where they're doing geometrical abstractions.
Yeah. I feel like Juanita.
It's incredible.
You know, maybe, I don't know if it's like, I'm sure drag queens go through different phases as they kind of like age or as they go, you know, Juanita's been a drag queen for 30 years. Like, I'm sure she's gone through many phases of like what she wants to look like in her, in her drag outfits. But I feel like Juanita has like a more subtle makeup style where she's not doing all the major contouring. The contouring, I think, is what really, really changes the face, where you almost can't. It looks like a different face completely in some ways. Whereas Juanita's mostly doing like eye makeup and some lipstick, like that sort of exaggerated lip line, you know.
But she doesn't exaggerate the lips.
She doesn't really do the contouring, so you can really kind of still see like the core Juanita in there, you know? So that's been interesting, like just even trying to figure out like who's who. I'm like, I don't even know how to do this. It's so funny. Anyhow, I really want to go to lots of drag performances.
Yeah.
So listeners, if you also want to go to drag performances or are a drag queen and want to take me to drag performances, please get in touch.
But only if you're cool.
Well, who's to say anyone's cool? What do you mean? Who's listening that's not cool? Come on now.
I actually recently found out how to be cool.
Oh, tell me more. Really? Come on. Are we really talking about this at this point in our life? Isn't that more like a 20-something-year-old conversation?
No, this is a forever.
This is forever.
This is throughout your life.
I hate it.
But the thing with it is, Maysoon, the only way to be cool is to be really comfortable with yourself.
I hear
be
that.
Really true and be really true to who you really are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but now don't you think, get to the Midwesterner. Okay, but don't you think as someone from the Midwest, that if you're going to be true to yourself, that means being deeply uncomfortable with who you are?
I don't know if that's a Midwestern thing. You think it's a Midwestern thing?
I think it's a kind of, I think it is for me anyway. But you're from a big city I'm from the fucking cowpoke town.
I feel like I've gotten more uncomfortable with myself as I've gotten older, which sort of sucks. I'm working on that.
Yeah, we got to see. Okay, good. Okay, you know? we're going to get through this Midwestern identity issue.
I think that's also maybe why drag is interesting to me. Or, I mean, drag is interesting for so many reasons, but I'm just sort of like, there's something about like wearing your inside on your outside. Does that make any sense? Like,
wow, I love that.
You have all this like energy and passion and things that you love and want to do, but You it's inside, it's like inside your body, and in the regular world you feel like you have to like resist or hold back a little bit, and I feel like drag allows you to sort of like really just like unfold those layers and just be full out with all of that, and I think that's something that's so beautiful about it.
I love that.
I love it too. And as I was talking to someone, I was like, I just want like, I want a little bit of that out. I'm not going to be a drag queen. That's not something I'm working on. But like, I just love that. Like, I feel like I need to like unfold some of my insides a little bit. And I feel like a drag queen could really help me with that. Do you know what I mean? That's kind of where I'm
at. And embroidery.
And embroidery. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. I love it, Maysoon. This is fantastic.
It's cute. I know. It's really cute. And it's just,
speaking
it's
of real, oh yeah,
also such like just with the opening, it was such just like a lovely scene, like a lovely group of people. Everyone is like, everyone just had this look of like joy. You know, people just looked like really happy to be there and just happy to like see Juanita get all this recognition. She's done such great work in the community. Like outside of being a drag queen, she's also just, you know, in her role has done so much advocacy work, so much fundraising, political campaigning. Like, she's really just all around like incredible person. And this show was sort of like really helping to recognize her like multifacets, you know, like her, just all the things that she's been able to contribute to San Francisco. And I think everyone was just sort of, people who were there were just like, yes, she totally deserves this. This is incredible. She's one of our, you know, she's one of our icons, and we love her. And it really had that vibe, and it was just like so warm and fuzzy. It was really sweet. Kind of like the opposite of what you usually feel at an opening, you know?
Yes.
I wouldn't say art openings have like a warm and fuzzy vibe, typically.
I could not agree more. Okay, well, I also had a funny San Francisco experience.
Okay.
Last Wednesday, I saw the Space Lady. Do you know
this
woman?
Tell me more. No, but I live very close to El Rio, so if this is something I need to go check out, I'm heading over now.
Oh my gosh. Well, I think it was just a one-night thing. But she was a street performer back in like the 70s in San Francisco.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
She used to play the accordion, and then she moved over to like a Casio keyboard with like some different guitar effects pedals.
Whoa.
Okay.
Wait, and she's just like music. You don't like sound.
I love
music.
I just don't like freako ass fucking I'm trapped inside a pinball machine. Fuck.
Okay, got it.
Like freako shit.
Freako shit. Uh-oh, damn.
You know, I want to be able, I don't have rhythm, but I want to be able to maybe tap my foot.
I see. You need a little
you
bit
know
of,
what I'm
you need
saying?
Some structure. You just don't want it to be like out there in the cosmos or in the ether where you're like, I don't know.
Well, the cosmos is what I'm all about, though, because Space Lady is all about the cosmos.
Okay, tell
and
us
so
more.
And so she plays, like, she does a lot of cover songs, but she has this one song that's one of her really big hits called Synthesize Me.
Oh,
and I'll play a little bit of it right
okay.
now.
Your heart beats like a drum, it hammers when you come to terms with you and me. Our love set us free. Synthesize me, hypnotize me, humanize me, energize me, synthesize me, hypnotize me.
When she was performing that that her husband wrote that song and he's passed away, and it was a very touching moment. Actually, the entire time was super touching because, you know, she talked about being in San Francisco in the 60s and 70s, and, you know, she's definitely like a psychedelic kind of hippie vibe to her. And it just felt like touching a kind of hopefulness.
Oh,
that, you know what I mean?
Yes.
That I don't know that we can really access anymore in like a really uncynical way.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And like she talked about like the war and her husband being a conscientious objector and all this stuff. And, you know, I don't know. Even though I feel like, you know, obviously, we can have a whole conversation about the San Francisco's legacy with the hippies and Haight Ashbury and all that stuff. And we can definitely have a critical eye on that. But I feel like this was just a purely joyous, amazing thing to be able to go to and just like tap into that. And the audience was like really cool. Nobody was a total asshole, except there was one drunk guy in front of us videotaping the whole time.
Oh,
and that was
no.
kind of annoying. But it was really cute, and Chris Sollers was there.
Oh, cute. Yeah.
And he was standing next to me for eternity, and I didn't realize it was him because we had masks on.
Oh, uh-huh, yeah.
And then we said hi, and it was really cute. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, the way you're describing your experience or her performance was reminding me of that one performance. Remember when you did that performance at Recology?
Oh, yeah.
And then there was that guy who performed after you who did, like, that weird like song and like video performance at the end.
Oh yeah, Jeremy Rourke.
Yeah. And I kind of had that same kind of like, it had like this old San Francisco, very free-spirited, like open-hearted, like awesome, just experimental, fun art vibe. And I was just like, just so there for it. That was very unpretentious. You know, there's like, I don't know, it just had such a good feeling to it. I was like, oh, wow, you just can't, you can't help but kind of love this in some ways just because of the energy he was bringing to it.
Because, because the performance is so uncynical.
Yes, yeah.
It's just purely, like, earnest and, but still weird and freaky and fun.
Which is the best. I don't feel like I see enough of that. I don't want to say that there's not enough that going on in San Francisco, because there probably is, but I just don't have my finger on that yet.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel the same way.
Yeah.
But another thing I love about the Space Lady is she wears this helmet when she performs.
Have you seen her before? Was this your first time seeing her?
No, this is the first time. Oh, I think she was on tour, and obviously the pandemic like put a big, stop on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she's not, I don't know.
She doesn't live out here anymore.
I don't think so.
Okay, cool.
But she wears this helmet that is like a Viking style helmet, but with wings on the side.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like Mercury.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Mercury in retrograde. Ooh.
But there's a red light on the top of it, like this circular red light that blinks the whole time.
Yeah, she just sounds like an awesome freak. I love it.
She's awesome. And so they had a merch table and they were selling hats, and I got a baseball cap that has her helmet on it.
Oh, good.
Aww. It's so fucking cool. Cute. So that's the hot moment of the
Can you tell us more about the performance?
Yeah, she just got up there. It was funny because there were a couple of the little, pretty much what you're talking about, the more experimental kind of like synth kind of people.
Yeah.
Including this one musician, I think his name was Ben, but I could be wrong on it. Yeah, who would play like synthesizers and all this like digital shit, but then also had a drum kit, like a real drum kit, and then would also play drums with this like, you know, synth kind of stuff.
Cool.
I feel I don't have an incredible range of knowledge about anything.
That's okay. This is what we're here to.
Like, he
we're
definitely
here to
had
learn.
A looping thing, and he definitely had a drum, like an electronic drum pad, but it wasn't really playing like drum sounds. It was doing weirdo shit.
Yeah.
But that was definitely less of the kind of stuff you can just tap your foot along to.
Mm-hmm. That's
but
cute.
Anyhow, then she, but then she came out when the Space Lady came out. Everyone was fucking on it.
Oh wow!
And it was and she came out through the crowd and got up there, and she was like pretty nervous. Mm-hmm. She was kind of like talking to herself to calm down.
Oh no, that's like perfect for you. Also,
it was
like,
so
just to be
cute.
Like,
I
oh, it's not just me constantly freaking out in these moments. It's
exactly,
so great. Yeah.
Exactly. She was so great, and you know, every song she would have like a little she'd like talk a little bit. She talked about her setup. She's had the same, not the actual same one individual keyboard, but the same like model of keyboard since she started.
Oh wow. Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So it's just this funny old Casio keyboard, and then also a little micro Casio keyboard that's like also a calculator. And then
wait,
I think
what?
Just like, yeah, because Casio made this weird keyboard where you hit the keys and they're also numbers in a little like
what?
Digital screen.
Oh, how big? Can you just give me a quick sense of the size of this thing? That's kind of incredible.
I would say probably maybe like a foot and a half long by like 6 inches.
So pretty small.
High, like tiny, tiny.
Wow, but bigger than a calculator. Interesting. What a weird
thing. Oh, for sure, yeah. And but then her regular keyboard is like, you know.
Wait. Sorry. Does it also function as a calculator, or does it just shoot out numbers? Wow. So it could be like your desktop keyboard calculator.
Yeah, you could use it as a real calculator.
Oh my God, I need to get one of those.
Sorry. Yeah, I have one actually.
What? Damn.
Yeah, I got one at like, I found it at like a yard sale. Okay, but.
Sorry. Back on track.
Oh, no, it's cool. They're fucking awesome. And then just a couple guitar pedals. But, man, she can get some really fucking rocking sound out of this very limited setup.
Wow.
And
cool.
So, yeah. And so she played I Had Too Much to Dream Last Night by the Electric Prunes.
Okay.
She played Synthesize Me, which is one of her big
hits.
The
song her husband wrote for her, yes.
Uh-huh. And it's so fucking good. She also did a really awesome version of Ghost Riders in the Sky.
Oh, okay.
That was so fucking good. Because she actually is from, like, grew up in rural Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And so she has this connection to like freaky cowboy shit. But man, she does it because her sound is so ethereal and kind of weird with like a lot of reverb and... anti-anxiety music.
Oh,
I think
man.
Everybody.
I want to go see
if you
her.
Suffer
she
from
looks
anxiety.
Awesome.
She's fucking rad as fuck. So if you suffer from anxiety, you should just start listening to this music. You need to get into all this kind of music, and it's actually going to really be a kind of homeopathic medicine for anyone with any kind of mental problem.
Most of us.
And V Vale was there.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Remember Vale?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Remember how we were in a show together?
Tiny Bubbles.
Yes. Do you want to say anything? Do you have hot gossip about that?
Well, I haven't seen Stephen Wolf in forever. This was a show curated by Stephen Wolf.
Do you think he was mad at me?
Of a former Stephen Wolf gallery.
Was he mad at me?
At the Arts Commission, which included Kate Rhodes, who did a podcast called Precious Flamingos. For the
I
show.
Worked my dick off on that.
Kate worked her dick off on that, and it was
I
so
really
fantastic.
Did.
And then
okay,
V Vale was
mad
in
at
it,
me or what?
And V Vale.
So he was then. I'm taking this as a yes.
No, what?
Are they all mad at me? Okay.
No. Dude.
How many people were mad at me total?
Everyone's always mad at you.
I knew it.
See, you should just stay home. It's
oh
been decided. Kate's staying home now.
Oh, my God.
No
okay,
Mason,
I saw one other thing. Can I tell you about it?
Oh, yeah, great.
Okay, well, Katie and I have date nights.
I know. I think that's so cute.
Okay, so
didn't
on
I see
a
you on
night,
date night? Oh, yeah, I did.
You saw us on date day on Sunday at the Premier Junior opening for Margaret Tedesco's billboard up there.
Yeah. I did see you there. That was so fun.
This isn't what I was going to talk about.
Oh, okay.
That everybody go check out the billboard over there on Irving Street by Fireside Bar. Is it Fireside Bar?
I have no idea. I just stood on the corner the whole time.
Perfect.
I think
it's also
Irving
by
and
Pasquale's
7.
Pizza. Yeah, 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 yeah. And check out that billboard. I think that's one of the best ones that have been up there.
It's a great one. I love it as well. It was just funny. At one point, I was like, I'm going to put my glasses on. And I put my glasses on. I was like, oh my God, I can see it so much clearer. And everyone's just sort of like, yeah, no dummies. It's like one
oh
of those
my
like
God.
Total like space cadet moments. Because I could see it, but I just like when I put my glasses on, I could actually see the woman's like face better and her hair. And like I could just see everything more clearly.
Yeah,
so if you
so
wear glasses,
images...
put your glasses on because it's a small billboard and it's far, it's like high up, so it's not like something you can walk straight up to. Go ahead.
Yeah, the image is it's a person with their head and hands on a table. They have their head laid down on a table and their hands are out, kind of outstretched a little
kind
bit.
Kind of like a goalpost, sort of like a goalpost position almost, right?
Yeah, of their hands, yeah, but laid down flat on the table. And then there are these orange balls and it's almost like they're juggling, but on a flat surface of this table, and it's called Another Way of Juggling.
Yeah.
After Paul Nouget. So I think it's a found photograph and then she went in and altered it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And I think it's great for this venue. It's perfect.
It's a really good photo.
According to their like PR stuff or whatever, according to mm-hmm. Premier Junior's like stuff about this installation or whatever you call it.
Yeah, their press release.
Margaret says this image has been with her for decades. It conjures the unconscious, allowing a means to unlock the imagination to move towards choice.
Wow.
Another way. Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I loved it. That was phenomenal. Okay, but wait, here's the other thing I was going to tell you about.
Okay, tell me.
Okay, so Katie on her date night surprised me with fucking tickets to see a play.
Whoa, good move, Katie. Damn.
Honest to fucking God.
I need to do date night with Jimbo. That way we can do things like that for each other. How cute is that?
It's so cute. And so we went and saw this play called Man of God.
Oh, wow. Okay. It's a very intimidating title.
I know, right? At Shotgun Players over there in Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been to this theater before. And actually, we had gotten season tickets to go there.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Okay. Guess what year?
2020.
That's correct. So we did not see a single show. A
single play. Well, I hope not.
Even though they did do a bunch of stuff online, but we were like, nah, that's not really what we were looking for.
Yeah.
But anyhow, thank God they survived everything. And so this play was pretty wild. It's supposedly inspired by...
Can you tell me a little bit about Shotgun Players? They have a specific kind of like, not theory, but a specific sort of MO with how they produce theater, don't they? Don't they have a specific kind
of... Yeah, what's their deal?
I don't know. I was going to ask you since you got season tickets at one point. Do you know?
Yeah, Shotgun Players was founded in 1992 by this guy, Patrick Dooley.
Okay.
At that point, there were 10 actors, and they had a bucket of black paint.
Okay, great.
So now they're at this Ashby stage in Berkeley, where they've been there since 2004. They performed before that in 44 different spaces.
Hmm. Jesus, sounds tiring.
Yeah, and basically there's this theater there on Ashby, and, you know, they put on all kinds of freaky-ass shows. I saw kind of a reimagining of Antigone that they did a few years ago that had Kevin Clark played Creon, and he was fucking rad as fuck. Phonique was in it.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah, it was crazy. I don't know. The tickets aren't super expensive, and sometimes they have pay-what-you-can performances. Okay. And, if you're 25 or under, tickets are only $7. And they just have these weird, wild shows.
Mm-hmm. Wait,
It's a very small theater.
Okay. So are they mostly doing, like, new works, or are they kind of... Well, I guess you said Antigone. That's certainly not new.
Yeah, but this was, like, a reimagining by this artist, and I think the artist, like, did all these, like, little illustrations as part of the... whatever their reimagining was.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a definitely updated version of that.
Interesting.
And then this play, I think, is, like... I don't know when it was written, but it's, like, really written recently.
Yeah.
But anyhow, it was super weird, and supposedly it was inspired by a real-life incident, but then when I looked into that more, it turned out the playwright had just, like, heard from somebody.
Oh, really? It just was, like, an interpretation of some, like, hearsay situation?
Yeah, of somebody being like, one time this happened to me, and they were like, okay, I'm gonna go write a whole play about that one sentence. Oh,
I kind of love that. I sort of love that.
Yeah. Yeah, so their description is inspired by a real-life incident at a Christian mission in Southeast Asia. So the play takes place in Bangkok.
Okay, yeah. Interesting.
This play delves into the lives of four young women faced with a choice, a funny feminist thriller about that moment when girls realize the male gaze has been watching all along and decide they are definitely going to do something about it.
Oh, damn.
So it was kind of, basically the story is there's these four, like, high school girls that are there, like, as part of their, like, Korean Christian church youth group.
Okay.
And they find a fucking, like, spy cam has been installed in their hotel bathroom.
Ew.
Okay, they're there on a mission trip, and they realize that it was from their youth pastor.
Ew, the fuck?
Yes, and so, yeah, and so the play goes through, the whole thing takes place in their hotel room. It's all in one, it's like 90 minutes long with no intermission. And basically, you're kind of seeing them argue about what to do about this.
Right.
And through that argument, you kind of are unpacking this whole thing about all the different ways that men look at young girls, basically, or teen girls or women. And and it's like very feminist, but it's also very funny because one of the girls, you know, there's like two of the girls are really like prim and proper, like love the pastor, love the church, and two of the other girls are like just trying to find alcohol.
Oh, it's like Dairy Girls partially.
Exactly. And it's really good like that. But then there's some very, like, I definitely welled up at parts because, you know, they're talking about their trauma and all this stuff. And,
yeah.
But anyhow, the really wild part is each of them go into kind of almost a dream sequence where they're thinking about the revenge that they're, it's kind of like the movie 9 to 5, where thinking about the revenge they want to get on the youth pastor.
Yeah.
And it includes like a hardcore kung fu sword fight.
Oh, goddamn. Yes.
There's sword fights. There's like a freaky godfather kind of thing. There's a part where they're harvesting the guy's organs.
Whoa. Jesus Christ, ladies.
Yeah.
They're like, we're really going on.
And, like, it's a small theater, and every time I go there, I'm like, God damn, you know, they're doing so much in this place that you just don't think it, you're, I don't know, I feel like it's unexpected how incredible the production quality is.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, again, this is just, like, with the music stuff, like, I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And it's really easy to impress me with probably not a lot if you're like really familiar with theater and stuff, but I don't give a fuck. I'm a country bumpkin and this shit is mesmerizing me.
It's great. Sorry, can I quickly jump in and say your description of like how they're like imagining their revenge, which just reminded me of the painting by Artemisia Gentileschi of Judith slaying Holofernes.
Exactly.
That like super gory where 100. There's like the two women like getting it taken care of business.
It's just like that.
Yeah, amazing.
Yes, and there's even a moment when they're harvesting his organs where he's kind of in repose like that, and she's kind of like holding on to his head and shit.
Oh my
Fuck
God.
Yeah, dude. 100%. It was a big revenge fantasy
amazing.
Thing.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was really fun. I loved it. I thought it was great. I give the whole experience a 10 out of 10.
Yay!
And I give the Space Lady an absolute 10 out of 10.
And we both give Premier Junior.
Yeah, and Juanita
10 out of 10.
Moore, go check that out. And how? When does that close? Do you know?
November 12th. I do know. Yes. I am going to go try to see Libby Black's show at 500 Cap Street today. And I
God,
recommend
yeah, it's closing
everyone
soon.
Get out there. That closes October 8th. So,
yeah,
not this weekend, but next weekend is its last weekend. So make sure to get out there. Saturdays are, I think, open. Open. You don't have to make a reservation. And I've heard really great things about it. I talked to Libby briefly at Margaret's opening at Premier Junior, and you know, Libby, she's just an awesome person and artist, and I feel like I just want to go see more of her work.
And she's from Toledo, Ohio.
Oh, no way.
Yes.
We got to interview her, don't we? I think we need to at least interview all the Ohioans that we in the art world.
Yes.
Don't you think?
Yes.
That should be at least like one part of our goal.
Yeah, there's not a ton.
Another show that's closing soon is Dewdrops in the Garden over at SOEX, curated by A. Preston Mint. That closes October 7th. So get out there. I'm going to try to go today
as
well.
There. Yes, 100%.
Two shows I've been wanting to see. Also, a friend of the show, friend of everyone, Bay Area friend, Keija Lucas, has a show opening tonight or... When is this coming out?
Yesterday.
Has a show opening yesterday, September 17th at SF Camera Work. The show will go through December 17th. So it's up for a whopping, September, was that 3 months? It's up for 3 months.
Long ass time.
So you have a lot of time to get there. We'll give you little reminders here and there. There will be an artist talk on October 22nd at noon. So you can attend that and hear directly from the artist. But yeah. Check that out. Taxonomy of Belonging.
I love it.
I know.
I love it.
You know.
So let's go ahead and tell the people, please send us your turkey pictures. You can send them, or you can also send us your questions, comments, and concerns at congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. You can give us a call, 419-351-6606, or you can tweet us at Pinetree Podcast. I'm hoping that people are hearing this episode after all the Mercury retrograde nightmares that we've been through.
You might need to send a couple, social media updates. Will that, do people see
okay.
that?
Yeah, let's put it on Instagram.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. Smart.
Just so that
You're
we
so
can
smart.
Really, like, blast it out.
Tell people. Yeah, people forget. Mm-hmm. Maysoon, another thing I wanted to let you know is that it is spooky season now.
Yeah. What do you? It's what does that mean for season. You? Do you like change out all the clothes in your closet now? Do you get like fall colored leaves mailed to you from your mom in Ohio? Your mom's not in Ohio. From your brother out in Ohio.
Yes. And then I get big garbage put, bags like, full of leaves.
He sends you. He's like, I don't know what to do with these leaves. I'm going to mail them to Kate. Yeah. In California, right. Where the leaves don't change yeah. colors. Yep.
See, well, and perfect. Then actually they don't get to me because of all the rules around organic matter plants and
coming into California.
Coming into California.
That's right. God damn it.
But just it's the thought that counts. But, you know, the thing about all that, Maysoon, is that I'm really this year, well, for the most part, I don't do anything at all. But I think I'm really going to put my full effort into my costume this
Ooh,
year.
Ooh, good.
Okay, so everyone, embrace spooky season in whatever way you wish.
Yes.
But be sure to know that this is the number one time for artists and gay people and freaks and fun people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're going to be levitating
Ooh.
From the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been
Congratulations, Pine Tree.